Let's open our Bibles to Luke 2, and this evening, in the next few moments, we're going to look at our last Christmas character, and what a wonderful ending to the Christmas season to look at this one person by the name of Simeon, whose life is just like a mine of riches. If you just take a moment to just take apart the revelation God has and has given us on this man. But Luke chapter 2, Simeon is introduced to us by God himself. Remember, only because of God do we know about Simeon. In fact, each person in the Bible, there are 2,938 different individuals named in the Bible, and God chose those out of the billions for a purpose. Each one is there for a reason. There's something to be learned. There's a reason for God including them. And if it wasn't for God's introduction right here in Luke 2, Simeon would be like the untold billions of others who throughout human history that were only known to them closest to them during their lives. And then they faded without leaving a trace. You know, most of the lives lived on earth, the only record of their life is from God's perspective. Nobody else knows about them. There's no record, no grave marker, no history written about them. Very few people. And you've always heard, you know, they want to leave their mark. That's because almost everyone doesn't. They just impact a very small circle for a very brief time, and then there's no record. I mean, except for, you know, the genealogical and census and immigration. But I mean, no record of their life other than that short, brief time. But even if God hadn't added the one we're meeting right here in chapter 2 to the biblical record, even if we never read about Simeon, what he did would last forever. That's the biggest thing to get out of his life. Here is an Old Testament man who talks like a New Testament church believer. He talks he's referred to like we would be referred to in God's sight as Christians. And he's in the twilight of the Old Testament. What a towering stature he has spiritually. Simeon, this Old Testament saint who lived in hope, was waiting for the coming of Christ by faith, and he died in faith, and to the last moment, he lived ready to go. I just love that word he uses, and we're going to examine that. He uses the word for being ready at any time. It's used for a ship taking off from port. It's used to be ready to sail at any moment, just being there, like the firemen have their boots they can jump into and pull on and go down the pole. They're just ready to go all the time. That's how Simeon lived. And really, ready to go is the choice we all ought to make that we want to live that way. It's the best way to live, ready to go at any time. And Simeon teaches us that. Simeon sends us a message from his life, and it extends far from the Christmas scene. In fact, he's a six-week after the Christmas story person, if you really look at the chronology. He's at the, as we saw this morning in second service, he's at the baby dedication time when Jesus is brought on the 40th day after his birth. So he is 6 weeks out. So, I mean, he's way out of the Christmas story. But his life comes right to where we are and can stick with us to the end of our lives because he's an inspired tool and a lesson for us and a model for each of us. Someone has once said, and it's so true, you're really never ready to live until you're ready to what? Die. Right. The unexamined life hasn't been lived properly. There's so many maxims and axioms to think about, but we all should think about, you're really not ready to live until you're ready to die. And as we'll see in the coming year, Lord willing, from David's life, until you know what you want written as your epitaph. And David truly embodied that. And Simeon shows us the attitude to have. Simeon was ready to go. He confesses that. Look at chapter 2, verse 29 of Luke. He says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. Sail away in peace. He says, I'm ready to sail away at any moment, and you're letting me do that. 229, what a beautiful testimony. And what does a life look like when you're ready? Well, Simeon looked at all of life as a loading dock where he was busily loading a ship for sailing home. So if you imagine life, if this is the dock and you're out in the water and there's a boat tied here, and all of my life would be just getting everything, putting on the boat, getting ready to go. That's how Simeon looked at life. Think for a moment. This is life, but what he was looking forward to was the cruise, which was the trip to be with God forever and to be on that cruise with God. It changes our whole perspective. Most people live as if the loading dock is life. And they're not putting anything on the boat. They're piling piles up and sitting on it and guarding it, saying, I'm not going to put that on the boat. It's mine. I got to have it. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to be on the dock. And people look at him and say, you're going to be on the boat forever and you're putting everything on the dock? Why don't you put something in the boat? See, Simeon had it all figured out. Life was lived to get ready for the cruise. All the prep time before the real event was just that. It was prep time. It wasn't the real goal of life to Simeon. Do you see what a, 2,000-year-old example of how salient it is to us today? We shouldn't spend all of our time living for the dock. We should spend our time getting things and people on the boat and treasures on the boat to go. God surrounded his life around this one short verse. And in this verse, Simeon explains that being ready to go on the cruise called heaven has three distinct parts. From his life, we get a measuring stick. In fact, every part of the usage of the word that's right there, depart, I'm now ready to depart. Every time that word is used in the New Testament, it has a different facet on what departing and being ready to be with the Lord is all about. And he uses that one word that sums up kind of the essence of living ready to go for the Lord, ready to hear his call, not to be ashamed before him at his coming, ready to hear his well done. Because the Lord says, I will honor those who have this heart attitude. And so from Simeon's life, we get a measuring stick for our own life. We get a guide for trip preparation. You know, there's a famous guidebook. It's called the Pilgrim of Bordeaux. He was a 4th century character who lived in Bordeaux, France, and walked and sailed and rode to the Holy Land. And he was the Bordeaux pilgrim. He was known all across the ancient world. It must have been loaded because it took him about 2 years to go. And he just made his way to the Holy Land, and he had a little sketchbook, and he wrote down everywhere he stayed and what he ate and drew pictures of it, and that's still present today. And he left a map that went back to France, and they used it in the Crusader times and all throughout that time to go back to the Holy Land, because this pilgrim left such a guide for all that would follow him. Simeon's life is far better. Simeon's life is a measuring stick that God made, that God wrote. Simeon is a guide for trip preparation that God wrote. The Lord doesn't tell us a lot about his life, just the important stuff. He lifts it up and lets us see. So God surrounded the birth of his son with some of the most instructive passages in the Bible. And the story of Christmas is a collection of inspired pictures that are captured in God's word. And we can learn so much from them. And each one of the elements of Christ's life is an intimate scene that's full of truth that only God could let us know about, because no one else was at so many of these places. And that's what we'll see in his life. Well, around Christ's parents would have been a throng of tens of thousands of pilgrims. If you look at verse 22, it says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And those tens of thousands of pilgrims streamed in and out of the astounding structure called the temple. That was the epicenter of Jewish life. Everybody wanted to go there or went there or was there on a regular basis. 3 times a year, those who were devout made their pilgrimages to that place, that structure, the courtyard of which could hold 250,000 people at once, kind of like the largest soccer arenas. That's the size of this structure and how large the capacity for people. The Temple Mount was a 40-acre platform that easily contained those hundreds of thousands of people that would stand on the feast days. And that gives us a little sense of what's going on in John 7 when Jesus, at the high day of the feast, when everyone was breathless and holding their breath silently, waiting to hear the sound when the high priest climbed to the top of a big tower and took this golden pitcher that had been filled at the pool of Siloam, and when he tipped it over, everyone, the kids would all be because everyone wanted to hear the water hit the pavement of the temple. And just as the priest was pouring that water is when Jesus, it says, cried out with a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, come to me." I mean, hundreds of thousands could have heard him in that moment because that's how the temple was. It was such a place of gathering. Well, to that spot with tens of thousands, into this platform Solomon had built and surrounded with one of the greatest colonnades of the ancient world, to this platform that Herod had enlarged. And now it was a forest of gleaming white 60-foot carved limestone pillars among which moved rivers of worshipers. Two of those worshipers were Joseph and Mary. In one of their arms was a 40-day-old baby. And then we meet in this passage, Simeon. And Simeon is captured by Luke at the moment when just two of these thousands of worshipers met him in a divine appointment. And before us in Luke 2 is the transcript of their meeting. Isn't that amazing to think about? You and I mean, this book, God gave us a transcript of what was said exactly, so that we could read it over century after century and 2,000 years after the event and have the same impact as if we had been walking through and bumped into them ourselves. That's the wonder of inspiration. And as we listen, the message that God wants us to hear comes through the words that Simeon spoke as he magnified God for sending Jesus in the world. What a great way to end our Christmas celebration. Luke 2, I'm going to read from 22 to 35. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, as I said, 40 days, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him, Jesus, to God the Father. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't say that, but that's what's going on. We're talking about a Trinitarian thing here. So Jesus is being presented to the Lord God Almighty. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just, that means that he had the righteousness of God, which you can't earn, which meant he was a believer and saw the atoning sacrificial concept and the substitutionary idea. So he was just and devout. That means he did what we were talking about this morning, Matthew 6:33. He sought God first. He was devout, devoted. He was focused on the Lord, wasn't easily distracted, waiting for, and here's a name of Christ, the Consolation. That's a person. Jesus is the Consolation of Israel. That's what he came to be, and of us. That's why Paul says in Romans 2 that the Jews have many privileges. It was to them that the Messiah came. It's from them the Messiah came. It's through them that the Scriptures came, and because of them that the Consolation was brought into the world. So he was waiting for Christ. But look at this. Three quick times the same thing is said, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound very Book of Acts-y? You know, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.